You're listening to Room 208 Podcast, June 24, 2005. This week we've got a huge show. We have end of the year reflections, some more research, thank yous, and many others. This is our last podcast for this year, except for some summer shows and more bonus shows. First up, student news.
And the enemy is you.
This week we listened to Mr. Warlick and Noah's podcast. Noah is a little creature that did this show with Mr. Warlick. On their podcast, Noah interviewed us with the same questions Mr. S asked us on his podcast. There were background noises. The background noises were animals. He said that Tyler was up in a tree, Bailey was by sheep. When she did her interview, you could hear sheep. We wrote letters back to him, and he emailed us and asked us to draw what we think Noah looks like.
Next, we went to Mr. Sprinkle's house for a fourth grade dinner. The fourth grade dinner is going to be a potluck. A potluck is when everyone brings a favorite food to eat. We are doing this to say goodbye because we will be going to fifth grade and to celebrate all of our work and to graduate. Mr. Sprinkle's daughter and wife will be there, so we will play some games outside before dinner. There may be photos on the blog, so please check, and of course we will try to get it on our podcast, so keep track and check for bonus shows. We thank Mr. S and his wife and daughter for putting this dinner together. We can't wait to meet his dog and family.
Also this week, we had portfolio share night. We come with our parents and share our portfolios and blog. On the night, we had popsicles while sharing our portfolios. We had a lot of fun and were very proud of our portfolios. We've worked very hard on preparing for this night. We have to write reflections and organize. When we write reflections, we have to tell Mr. S something he doesn't know about us or our work. Then we have to put it into organized sections like reading, writing, and others. We had a lot of fun at portfolio night.
Finally, this week is the end of the year. We thank the people who helped out our class through the year, like parents and teachers, the PTSA, the superintendent, and more. We had a lot of fun this year, especially with the podcast. We are looking forward to next year.
Hi, I'm Sean.
And I'm Dylan.
And I'm James.
This is Room 208 Sports Desk.
You know what you're thinking. Why is James on the show, right?
Well, it's because Austin can't do sports for this week.
So James is a new member of the crew.
This week we are going to talk about a big change at the legendary Fenway Park.
And the College World Series.
First up, Fenway Park.
They just recently named the left field pole at Fenway Park the Fisk Pole after Carlton Fisk, the legendary Red Sox catcher.
He threw out the first pitch to the old Red Sox pitcher, Louis Tiant.
He got a 2004 World Series ring.
This is the biggest thing that has happened to Fenway since caveman Johnny Damon came.
Just kidding.
Now on to the College World Series.
The big news was the 7-inning shutout for McCulloch.
Brent Cox came in for the McCulloch in the last 2 innings.
The final score of the game was 5-0 Longhorns.
Too bad for Tulane.
Brian Bogusiewicz didn't pitch very well.
But Taylor Tegarin hit amazingly well.
Well, we hope you enjoyed Sports Test this week.
Bye.
Here's some more Native American research reports.
Hi, my name is Austin, and I will be reading you my Native American research. It's about shelter. Native Americans built their shelters and called them longhouses. To start a longhouse, you need poles for the frame. More poles make the arch roof. They had boys climb up and tie the poles together for the roof. They put the doorway on each side or end. They built their longhouses in huge clearings. The longhouse was 13 to 200 feet long. The compartments were 12 feet long and 6 feet wide. The longhouse were built and placed in different directions, so it was hard for fire to jump house to house. When it rained, they took wooden poles to close the smoke holes. They also used special longhouses for activities such as meetings and dances. 1,000 people could live in a village of longhouses. They built longhouses and created the village. 100 people could fit in a longhouse at one time. The Iroquois lived in the longhouses.
I'm Bailey, and this is my Northeastern Native American Shelter Project. Imagine you went back in time to a Native American shelter. What would you see? How would you build a shelter? How would you live in it? Native Americans made different kinds of homes. One kind of homes was wigwams. Wigwams were made out of a thick layer of earth. They lived in long houses made out of elm tree bark. You think your life is hard? Try living like a Native American. They had to build their own home. Birch bark was peeled off of the trees up to 8 feet. Birch bark was the best for building shelter. Why it is the best is because birch bark is waterproof and bugs can't chew through it. Also, Native Americans cut 5 to 10 poles of wood and tied them together with rope. The longhouses they built were 30 to 200 feet. Really big longhouses could have at least 100 people at a time, so they had to be really long. It took a lot of trees to build one longhouse. The Iroquois also made wigwams. Wigwams were sewn together. The needle was made from a deer's rib. Also, strips of wood were sewn together with the sewn cords. One kind of mat was also used for bed covers and for drying corn. Bast or Indian hemp formed the roof. It would be fun being a Native American, but you would have to work hard.
Hi, my name is Bree, and this is my Northeastern Native American report. Have you ever wondered what Northeastern Native Americans' homes looked like and what kind of house they were? Well, the Penobscot always had four requirements when they picked a campsite. They were good drinking water, a good supply of firewood, easy access to and from the site of the canoe, and a location that was hidden from enemies. The Penobscot used the wigwam as their family home. They had to use more material in the winter for warmth. Also, they had to use stronger things to build their shelter. On cold nights, the Penobscot would build a fire outside and put rocks around it. And when they got hot, they put the rocks inside the house for warmth. Their homes had smoke holes on top of the house so the smoke would go out. In the summer, they also had the wigwam as their family home, but they didn't have to use as much material. In the summer, the wigwam was covered with bark, reeds, mats, or hides. Inside the shelter, the Penobscot laid logs on the floor to divide the sleeping spaces and cooking spaces. Well, I hope I answered some of your questions on what Northeastern Native American homes looked like and what kind of houses they usually lived in.
Last person shut the door.
Are you wondering what in the world that was? Well, I'm Zoe, and this is a continuation about the Wells Elementary School fire drills from Student News Podcast 07. Now let's look at the data. We are able to get out of the building in an average 2 minutes and 50 seconds. That is pretty good for a huge school of 700 children. We were supposed to have 10 fire drills in the whole year, 5 in the morning and 5 in the afternoon. Sometimes, due to the weather, we can't do it that way. Now I'm going to take you on a sound-seeing tour on a fire drill with us. You'll hear everything going on, and I will describe what is happening. Let's go!
Okay, this is Zoe, and now we're coming in from the fire drill we just had. And, people are very hot looking around at all the people there are here, and some of us get really nervous when the fire drill goes off because we're not sure if it would be a real fire drill or a real fire. So now we're heading into the building, and everything's all right. Almost everybody held up a green card. So
I hope you learned something about fire drills on the trip. Here's a fun game for you. Try doing a fire drill at your house and see how long it takes for you to get out. See if you can improve your timing every time. That was Zoe with fire drills at Wells Elementary School.
Hi, this is Bree with Bree's Animal Corner. Today we have three more animals, and you'll love them. Well, here they are. First, we have a 9-year-old neutered male red tick coonhound named Red. He was surrendered to a vet hospital, which kept him for 6 months, trying to find him a home. They didn't have any luck, so he's hoping the shelter will give him a second chance. He's a great boy that does need some work with general manners. He's a big guy that is strong and a bit clumsy. For that reason, he'd prefer to live with older children. He'd also get along with some dogs and might chase cats. He can't wait to meet his new family. Next we have a 2.5-year-old female cat with medium length tiger and white fur named Honey. The shelter took her in because she was found as a stray in Biddeford. She gets along well with cats, dogs, and children and preferred to be kept as an indoor-only cat. She can't wait to meet her new family. Finally, we have a very, very cool surprise. Mice. They have a lot of mice. Guess what their names are. Randall, Minnie, Susie, Sabrina, Sally, Sammy, Stewie, and all the others are just waiting for new loving homes. They are mostly albinos, but a few have dark fur. They are also young and friendly. Mice can make great pets. They are active and curious. If you are interested in adopting a small animal, please visit the shelter and find out more about the ones they have available. You can visit these animals at the Animal Welfare Society on Old Holland Road in West Kennebunk. You can also visit them online at www.animalwelfaresociety.org or give them a call at 985-3244. Well, those are our animals. Before I tell you guys some tips, guess what? I have really, really awesome news. We just got mail a couple days ago from a girl named Audrey, and the mail said that she adopted Maxim's sister. Remember the cat that I put on the podcast a couple weeks ago? Isn't that great news? And now here's some dog tips. Once there is a dog coming into your family, you need to make some decisions like, where will the dog sleep? What areas will the dog be able to enter? And where will he or she sleep? These decisions will make you ready to figure out the cost of what you will need to make you ready for your new family member. You might want to think about these things too. A fence, an outside kennel, and a doghouse. Now here's a cat tip. If your cat has asthma, you should never smoke around your cat because this can cause an acute asthma attack. And those are my tips for the week. This was Bree with Bree's Animal Corner. Bye!
Hi, my name is Cammie, and I'll be reading my Northeastern Native American report. Native Americans are really interesting, especially the art. Back when the Native Americans made everything by hand, paints were made from minerals and plants. Red, white, black, and yellow paints were made from fish roe and egg yolks. Porcupine quills were usually painted red, blue, black, brown, green, or gold. Hides were used to paint on. Also, sand paintings were part of magic healing ceremonies. Those had to be finished and destroyed on the same day they were started. Masks were often used when members of the Iroquois tribe wore masks to scare away the evil spirits and cure the sick people. The masks had special colors depending on what kind of day it was cut out of the tree. If the mask was cut out in the morning, it was painted red. If it was cut out in the afternoon, it was painted black. Buffaloes used to roam the Great Plains. The Indians used their skin for robes, teepee covers, shields, leggings, moccasins, and other things. Coats were made from goat's wool and cedar bark. Moccasins were often painted with lines and geometric shapes. Another thing of art is carving. Smoking pipes were made from wood and stone. Carved wooden helmets were used to protect Indians in battle. Canoes were made from great cedar logs. Making baskets and pottery was another art they did. Baskets were used for storing, carrying, and cooking. Pottery makers shaped all their pots by hand. Studying Native Americans is very interesting and fun.
Hi, I'm Carrie, and I'm going to read my research on Native Americans. Have you ever wondered where Indians got their materials for the art or what they made in art? Well, I have some answers for these questions. The first one I'm going to talk is where did they get the materials for the art? Artists used plant pigments, red, yellow, to dye their fabric. The Kachina dolls were carved from soft cotton wood. They used shells and sand to do the art. They also used quills, wool, and clay. They also made some of their art with animal skin. That they planted. Everything they made came from nature. Now I'm going to tell you what they made in art. The Navajo tribes wore blankets from the wool of wild goats. The designs often were double curved geometric or animal designs. Leather was also painted. Did you know that totem poles are the tallest wood carvings in the world? Or that coats were made of wool and cedar bark? Little dolls were dressed in teeny copies of cloth and jewelry. The Europeans sold glass beads to the Indians. They became more popular than porcupine quills. The Navajos of the Southwest made sand paintings by dropping fine sand onto the bed of natural sand. Everyone in the tribe could do the art. I hope most of your questions were answered.
Hi, my name is Dylan, and I'm going to read you my research. It's called Indian Recreation. You might think all the Indians did was work. You're wrong. Indians did many things to have fun. They told stories, played games, and drummed. Music was a recreation. They would sing songs, they would drum and dance. Their favorite dance was the hoop dance. Indians had a long history with drumming. Drumming was important for good dancing. Telling stories was a recreation. The Wabanaki told stories around campfires at night. The stories they told were about their ancestors. The stories they told were passed on generation by generation. Games were also a recreation. The Wabanaki played word games. Another thing they played was a game we still play today. Lacrosse. Only their field was 6 miles long, and their ball was made of deer skin. Games were usually played around campfires. I hope you learned something about Indian recreation.
Biography.
And here are our jokes. Why does a knight run about shouting for a tin opener?
I don't know.
Because he had a bee in his suit of armor. Who gave the Liberty Bell to Philadelphia?
Must have been a duck family.
A duck family?
Didn't you say there's a quack in it?
When a teacher closes his eyes, why should it remind him of an empty classroom?
Because there was no pupils to see.
What is a forum? 2-1 plus 2-1.
Why were the early days in history called the Dark Ages? Because there were so many knights.
Why does the Statue of Liberty stand in New York Harbor?
Because it can't fit down.
Abbott and Costello were one of the best comedian duos. Abbott and Costello did 37 skits together. One of their most famous skits was Who's On First. Abbott met Costello in 1931 when he was working as a cashier at a theater. Abbott was born on October 6, 1897 in Aubrey Park, New Jersey, and Costello was born on March 6, 1906 in Paterson, New Jersey. Abbott and Costello weren't famous until they appeared on the Kate Smith Radio Hour doing what would soon be their most famous skit, Who's On First? Then Bud Abbott and Lou Costello were swept away to fame in Hollywood. In 1939, Abbott and Costello were known as the Kings of Comedy. Sadly, Costello died in 1959, and later on, Abbott died in 1974.
Now we're going to do that famous skit by Abbott and Costello called Who's On First? Well, Costello, I'm going to New York with you. You know, Bookie Harris, the Yankees manager, gave me a job as coach for as long as you're on the team.
Look, Abbott, if you're the coach, you must know all the players.
I certainly do.
Well, you know I've never met the guys, so you'll have to tell me their names, and then I'll know who's on the team.
Oh, I'll tell you their names, but you know, it seems to me that they give these ball players nowadays a very, very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Strange names. Pet names like Dizzy Dean.
And his brother Daffy?
Daffy Dean.
And their French cousin?
French?
Goofy.
Goofy Dean. Well, let's see. We have on the bags who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
And are you the manager?
Yes.
You going to be the coach too?
Yes.
And you don't know their fellow's names?
Well, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's names.
Who?
The guy in first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you, who's on first?
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Look, you got a first baseman?
Certainly.
Who's playing first?
That's right.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it.
And I'm trying to find out the fella's name on first base.
Who?
Guy that gets...
That's it!
Who gets the money?
He does, every dollar of it. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes. What's wrong with that?
Look, all I want to know is when you sign up the first baseman, how does he sign his name?
Who?
The guy.
Who?
How does he sign?
That's how he signs it.
Who?
Yes.
I'm only asking you who's the guy in first.
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
What's the guy's name on first base?
No, what is on second?
I don't know.
He's on third. We're not talking about him.
Now, how did I get on third base?
Why, you mentioned his name.
I mentioned the third baseman's name. Who did I say was on playing third?
No, who's playing first?
What's on base?
What is on second?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go, back on third again. Would you just stay on third base and don't go off it?
All right, what do you want to know?
Now, who's playing third base?
Why do you insist putting who on third base?
What am I putting on third base?
No, what is on second?
You don't know who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
Look, you got outfield.
Sure.
The left fielder's name?
Why?
I just thought I'd ask.
I just thought I'd tell you.
Then tell me who's playing left field.
Who's playing first?
Stay out of infield. The left fielder's name?
Why?
Because?
Oh, he's center field.
Look, you got a pitcher on this team?
Sure.
The pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you now.
Then go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow are you going to tell me who's pitching?
Now listen, who is not pitching?
I'll break your arm. You say who's on first. I want to know who's pitching.
What's on second?
I don't know.
Third base.
Got a catcher?
Certainly.
The catcher's name?
Today.
Today and tomorrow's pitching.
Now you've got it.
All I got is a couple of days on the team. You know I'm a catcher. I'm a catcher too.
So they tell me.
I get behind the plate to do some fancy catching. Tomorrow's pitching on the team and a heavy hitter gets up. Now the heavy hitter, when he bunts the ball, me, behind the catcher, I'm going to throw the ball to first base. So I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now that's the first thing you said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
That's all you have to do.
Is to throw the ball to first base?
Yes.
Now who's got it?
Naturally.
Look, if I throw the ball to first base, somebody's got to get it. Now who has it?
Naturally.
Who?
Naturally.
Naturally?
Naturally.
So I pick up the ball and throw it to naturally?
No, you don't. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's different.
That's what I said.
You're not saying it.
I throw the ball to naturally.
You throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
That's what I said.
You ask me.
I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Now you ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
Same as you. Same as you. Throw the ball to who? Whenever, whoever drops the ball and gets the guy runs second. Who picks up the ball and throws it to what? What throws it to? I don't know. Throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play. Another guy gets it and gets it up and hits the long fly ball to because. Why? I don't know. He's on third base, and I don't give a darn.
What?
I said I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.